Daily life in the Sunshine State and neighboring states has been disrupted by Hurricane Idalia. The storm remains top of mind. The major hurricane passed to the west of Tampa Bay, which experienced serious flooding before hitting Florida's northwest shoreline at Keaton Beach in Taylor County, a rural county in Florida, Wednesday morning. The storm plowed a course from Florida to North Carolina. I know there are a lot of questions by all of us about insurance, so we're really fortunate to have Lisa Miller, who's CEO of Lisa Miller and Associates based in Tallahassee. She's with us today to discuss what the major storm means to Florida residents and the Florida insurance market. Lisa is an insurance advisor to many and Florida's former deputy insurance commissioner. She works with consumers, insurance companies, adjusters, lawyers, contractors, and others, so she's very informed about the insurance market. Lisa, welcome to On the Point.
So good to hear from you, Greg, and happy to be helpful today.
Our thoughts go out to all the people throughout Florida who've been impacted by the storm. You recently just put out a new newsletter talking about the impact of the storm. What impact is that going to have for people who pay insurance premiums?
You know, Greg, our insurance premiums have gone up over the past two to three years, probably on average 35 to 50%. And I believe that even with this storm, we will see that soften next year. And by soften, I mean we won't see these 30, 40, 50% increases. We might see 10%. Yes, I'm being very optimistic, but our legislature has done some great work with the governor's leadership in reducing the cost of litigation. Every one of us that are listening see the billboard lawyers that encourage us, the TV commercials that encourage us to sue our insurance companies, and we're all paying for that. We may not like our insurance companies. We may think that they're awful, et cetera, but every time there's a lawsuit filed against one, typically they average that two out of every five are frivolous lawsuits. And we all pay for that. So I'm being optimistic, and I think we'll see a softening of some of these rate increases despite the storm.
And I guess the laws that were passed that you look on favorably, that's going to take a while, Lisa. This is a question. It's going to take a while to work through the system and start having the impact that is hoped.
Yes. What is a while? We pass laws, we as a state pass laws that took effect, you know, anywhere from June to August, somewhere in that range, you know, July 1. And we're already seeing the positive effects. In fact, Citizens Property Insurance, which is the government's insurance company, which means it's our insurance company, made an announcement a couple days ago that their litigation, the number of lawsuits they used to receive, I'm just going to use an example, say 1,000 a month, now they may only get 700 a month, whatever the numbers are. And that's encouraging. I know that still sounds like a lot, but that is a good indicator that we're headed in the right direction. I am an eternal optimist. These insurance companies that are doing business, our insurance commissioner is the best in the country. I've worked with him. I know who he is. He's very good at what he does. His number one job is to keep these insurance companies, keep an eye on the insurance companies to make sure that they have the resources to pay their claims. And our insurance industry wants to pay their claims despite all the things you see in the newspaper. They collect a premium. You see them out on the news right now. They're on the radio. They're sending text messages and emails to people that have been affected by this storm that say, we're here to help you. Please call this number. You know, this rhetoric that we have that they don't pay claims and they're just doing everything they can to screw consumers is just flat wrong. And for those of you that have listened on this great radio station, many of you have had good experiences with your insurance companies, but those are not the ones we hear about. So I think this insurance industry is strong. They'll be able to pay these claims. They want to do it quickly so that a claim that's paid quickly is a less expensive claim, which ultimately keeps our rates down, Greg.
It seems, too, when you see some of the news reports about someone having a question or dispute with their insurance company, every policy is different. correct. And a lot of times, one lawyer told me, you know, the thing you've got to do is read the policy.
So every policy is different. You are absolutely right. And in that regard, there are fine details in an insurance policy, and I highly recommend that we sit with our insurance agents and know what's in those policies, and don't be surprised after the storm hits to not know what's in your policy. So the time to do that is before the storm, and know what you're buying and ask questions about that policy. It's just like buying a refrigerator or a stove or an automobile. Know those details before you sign the dotted line, Greg. And the more you know, the better things are after the storm.
And as you pointed out in your newsletter that just went out, and people can sign up for the newsletter by going to LisaMillerAndAssociates.com, or which is her website. One of the things in the newsletter you pointed out was that, I guess you pointed out UBS Bank estimated average insurance losses from the storm, major storm, at about $9.4 billion. Is that what you're thinking about now?
You know, I put that estimate out there because it was an estimate. It's probably the one that's out there and most prevalently being used.
Okay.
You know, estimates are what they are. We'll know more probably in the next 30 days. Kind of premature to put that estimate out 2 days after the storm, but also it's a race among various organizations to see who can get the closest. But whatever that number is, in my humble opinion, these insurance companies will be able to pay their claims. They would not be doing business in Florida if they can't, and the insurance commissioner makes sure of that.
And Lisa, what impact, if any, does this have on the reinsurance market? And maybe explain first what reinsurance is.
Reinsurance is insurance for insurance companies. So 40 cents of every dollar we as Floridians pay on average goes to pay reinsurance companies. And those are companies like Lloyd's of London or Munich Re or Swiss Re. You hear those names kind of tossed around. They're all over the world. And these are investors that choose to invest in our insurance market so that the insurance companies can partner with them to have the resources to pay their claims. And by law, insurance companies have to buy a certain level of reinsurance. So there's only 100 pennies in a dollar. We pay premiums in dollars. The insurance company takes about 35 to 40 cents of our every dollar we pay and sends it around the world to pay for the reinsurance that they use to back themselves up. So it's a partnership, and we hope that their investors will continue to put money into Florida and not raise those costs. We're also hoping that the legislature will look at doing more state-backed reinsurance. State-backed reinsurance meaning we have about a $17 billion reinsurance fund in Florida, and we're looking to hope that part of that can be used to be reinsurance for insurance companies, which is less expensive than these reinsurance markets around the world, if that's helpful.
And Lisa, how does the state build up that fund?
As I said, 40 cents of every dollar we pay. So a lot of that goes around the world. About 10 cents of that goes into that fund.
Okay.
So the big numbers every year, all 7.5 million Florida insurance customers that have homeowners policies, we spend about $11 to $12 billion a year in premium. All of us that write our $3,000 and $4,000 and $5,000 annual premium checks to our insurance companies, that collects about $11 to $12 billion a year, and about 10% of that goes into the state backed fund, and about 30 to 35 cents of that goes around the world, if that's helpful.
Lisa, how about some consumer tips now? We know that a lot of people have been affected. And before we get to that, you pointed out in your newsletter about the Florida Disaster Fund. Maybe let our listeners know about that and how they could help.
So we have what's called Volunteer Florida, and that is literally a volunteer organization where, you know, instead of, if you're listening, instead of sending clothes or, you know, sheets and bedding and linens, you can go online, you can contribute to the Florida Disaster Fund and help those who have been wiped out. I've seen footage of Horseshoe Beach and Keaton Beach and Taylor County. I'm sure we've all seen the footage across the state. People are hurting right now, and the best we can do is, you know, go online and you know, contribute $15, $20, whatever we have to help those that need it.
And I guess that's the, as you point out in your newsletter, and I'm reading from your newsletter, www.floridadisaster.org is the website.
Yes, that,
is that right?
That, or that particular website, of course, helps us understand what the Division of Emergency Management is doing, but okay. That can also connect you to Volunteer Florida.
And what are some tips, Lisa? You're an expert in this area. What if someone has been impacted by the storm and they need to file a claim? What should they do right now?
The first thing they need to do is take pictures of their of what's going on in their house, and you know what the damage looks like. A documentation, if you will, a documentary, if you will, of what's happening with your claim is always very helpful for adjusters, and I would suggest that you do that every day or every other day and mark it by the day so that when the adjuster shows up a week or 10 days later, they can see the progression of the damage. I would take notes of the damage and what's happening in your house. I would not start ripping out cabinets until I talk to my insurance company if I've had, you know, damage that came through my roof. Also remember that rising water is a flood claim. So if you don't have flood insurance, you might need to be talking to FEMA. If you have a hole in your roof, that's typically a property insurance claim. So document, call your insurance company. Don't climb on your roof. You know, call your insurance company. They've got tarping crews, et cetera, and be patient. Those would be my suggestions.
Now, getting on a roof would be unsafe, so that's a great tip. How are we doing, finally, in the last couple of minutes we've got, on recruiting companies to Florida, which would help through time as it affects the insurance rates?
We've passed some legislation that I think has made a difference. Remember, there's three things that investors look at, you know, when they're coming in or deciding where to put their money, and particularly when it comes to the insurance industry. One is the weather. I mean, investors look at the weather patterns, and, you know, they see a storm like Idalia, and everybody's breathing a sigh of relief. Though those that got affected, there's no sigh. I totally get that. I don't want to be insensitive to that.
1 minute.
And then also, they're looking at what are the litigation trends, and I think they're seeing those improving. And then lastly, they're looking at what other investors are doing. What other investors are doing? Are they also investing in the reinsurance market? So we're hoping that they continue to stay encouraged and that we can make this a more vibrant and competitive insurance market. I think we're on the road to do that, Greg.
Lisa, thanks for joining us today. Lisa is the CEO of Lisa Miller & Associates, headquartered in Tallahassee. LisaMillerAssociates.com to sign up for her newsletter. This is Greg C. Truax with On the Point, News Talk, WHBO 1040.